Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, south of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I just got word from Roz. We're going to have the Harlem Globetrotters giveaways. There's still a couple 10 grand prizes up for grabs. We're going to have those next week. So get yourself to Gertrude's at the BMA. I'm going to be joining an old friend of mine. I don't know if to call him an old friend, but he was my one-time boss and my old friend. And when we're going to be getting together with Dan Roderick's folks, I'm really looking forward to this. It's at the BMA, my cousin's place, as they would say. There actually was a place in Highlandtown called my cousin's place back in the day when I was a kid. At Gertrude's at the BMA, I'll be all artsy on Wednesday, maybe have a vegan crab cake. I don't know, man. I had the best meal there right before Christmas. I took it home. It was amazing. On Friday, we're going to be at Costas. If I need some leftovers, get some oysters, Rockefeller will be in Dundalk. And then on Tuesday, the 10th, we will be at Missoni's in Perry Hall. I'm really looking forward to that. Great food there. Luke's going to come eat everywhere. Dude, I feel terrible that we're not slushing around. I didn't even check the weather in Indianapolis. I'm assuming there's got to be like a foot of snow on the ground. I don't know. You tell me. Jesse Minter, Eric DaCosta, early morning on a Tuesday. I will check the weather and get it all squared up because you and I have been in Indianapolis when the weather's been really bad, and then we've been there when it's just lousy. And we're here and it's lousy, and we would be in Sarasota, and I don't even know if it's lousy there or not, but I do know there's a different air about the franchise in the way it's going to show and the way John Harbaugh is going to show with a blue jacket and the red tie and like all of that. It's different watching Jesse Minter. It is, and I'll get to all my observations, and you're going to get to the football and the Linderbaum and the DaCosta and the Lamar Jackson. We can't hear the questions and all of that, but didn't learn anything. But I'm getting some body language, and I'm getting some presentation skills, and I'm getting why they hired him, in a general communication way.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to Eric DaCosta, and let's be perfectly honest, or at least from my perspective, I always find Eric DaCosta far more interesting this time of year than John Harbaugh or Jesse Minter, right? I mean, we're before free agency, we're still 2 months out on the draft. The head coach, generally speaking, is not going to make major headlines right now. Now, a month ago, that was a totally different story because he was brand new on the job, and he was hiring his staff. And even in the years where John Harbaugh was talking this time of year, maybe he'd be talking about a new coordinator. But you have to understand, Jesse Minter is just getting to know most of his players. He has not worked with any of these guys other than Marlon Humphrey and a couple other guys that he crossed paths with, like Lamar Jackson the first time around. He's going to choose his words carefully. He's certainly not going to publicly critique players based off of last year, throw guys under the bus, have them asking questions. He's going, as we've seen the new staff, they're going to choose their words carefully, talking about old friends. And in the case of Anthony Weaver, he has a relationship with Zach Gore. So I didn't really have expectations that we were going to hear anything all that terribly compelling or earth-shattering from Jesse Minter. But to your point, it's just getting a feel for him, right? Just getting a feel for how he's going to speak. He was asked about some of the interactions, whether it was Lamar Jackson or other conversations he's had, Nnamdi Matabike. And one thing that Minter has said is he's going to try to keep, his personal relationships with players and things that they say behind closed doors private, which isn't all that surprising, all that shocking. It's not as interesting from our perspective, but I can also understand that. But like I said, until those guys are in the building, even this spring, and he's laying eyes on them, and he's in meeting rooms with them, and he's on the practice field with them, whether we're just talking about OTAs even, I think he's going to tread very carefully in how he talks about his new players, his new football team. Until there's something new, until there's actual substance of interacting with one another on the field, that's kind of what I expect. But I thought he handled himself well. He seemed relatively comfortable, I think. He's a
Well, he
first
hasn't
time
been
head
out in
coach.
Baltimore, right? In 5 weeks, 6 weeks, he's had the job. You've been in a room with him twice, right? Twice, right?
Yeah, his opening press conference and his press conference that he did with
And if
his
you
new
wanted to be in a room
coordinators.
with him again, you and I could have flown to Indianapolis instead of Sarasota. We'd opted to do neither because, neither one of them, they want to make me drink out of the back water fountain. We don't need to be there. By the way, it was 18 degrees this morning at 7:30 a.m. 18, but I'm sure the buffet would have been really nice across the street. And we wouldn't have gotten until 3 a.m. or whatever it would have been. But I just watch it now from afar. And I see the Eric DaCosta I knew 30 years ago, and even I knew 5 years ago, that would sit and talk about things and talk about. And now, like the third time, even if for either of us or media or whomever to get in front of Minter, you'd have to go to Indianapolis. They're off the grid now. The next time you'll have any access to them will be Liars Luncheon. Does that sound right?
No. I mean, they're going to sign somebody in free agency, right? I mean, they'll have a
Oh,
press
right. They'll
conference
be
for somebody.
okay, right.
Yeah.
They'll have to,
So they'll, I
so
mean,
Minter will
nothing that's
start you,
set, but
but not Eric. Well, Eric, this is Eric's season. Eric will be in
Eric,
front of
it'll
you a
be
half
like,
dozen times, right? Yeah.
I mean, Eric, it all depends. I mean, sometimes, if it's a big signing, he'll be part of that. If it's middle of the road, that's where I could see that there's wiggle room. Like, I think for when, like when they signed Marcus Williams in free agency, what, going on 4 years ago now, which obviously didn't work out, but it was a big deal at the time. Eric sat in on that, right? So it kind of depends on him. But in terms of what we're guaranteed to see, yeah, you're talking Liars Luncheon and obviously a draft weekend,
You could
but.
script this, dude, right? Like it's so like, and you do often. The minute the ball sailed wide right, we start writing the script. You and me, when we're getting pretzels up in Monroeville, right, coming out of Pittsburgh on three. We're next day, Harbaugh gets fired, and then there's a different why in the road to like 16 interviews and all the stuff that Minter actually talked about a little bit. But this part of the year. Whether it's John Harbaugh or Jesse Minter, it'll be a little different because of the scheduling that Minter will have extra team time that John will be getting with the Giants as
Right.
well. And there'll be 10 other places where they're getting the Pittsburgh and everything. But you can script out what this is. And this Indianapolis thing was always a song and dance about Linderbaum and about Jackson, a little bit about Humphrey, a little bit. And then a little picky poke on what's scheme going to look like, what's the pass rush going to look like. I mean, there, this isn't state secret, right? And that they're picking 14th, and that's a little embarrassing to Eric in a general sense to think we're getting a better pick because the team sucked and the coach got fired. But I'm intrigued by it just from afar, as to watching it to see how. Jesse Minter is going to be different in regard to communicating, in regard to smiling, in regard to that's a good question, and sort of having some conviction about all of that, but really not saying much, but letting on that he's a genius. I mean, the part where he handles players and schemes and alignment and how defense works and all of that, it would be interesting to be at the owners' meetings where you sit. At that breakfast table and really talk some football in a way, or some of the off the records that we have done with coaches. And quite frankly, was the way of the world when Billick was the coach and Rex Ryan and Mike Patton and Jim Schwartz and Mike Nolan and just on and on and on. We're running around trying to teach football in some way. He communicates the teaching football thing really well. Dude, in the first hour that I've watched it, and I'm seeing as much as you. You've been in the room. Now you're out of the room like me. I'm just watching the first hour and a half of the next thing after 18 years of John Harbaugh, and it's I don't know, it's wild to watch it. That's all. I'm glad I lived long enough. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's different. It's new. I mean, there's a freshness to it. There's a different sound of the voice, right? I mean, it's all that. But even this is the point I've made to you a lot about even talking about Harbaugh. I mean, Harbaugh was different from year one to year five when he won a Super Bowl to year 10 to year 18, right? I mean, we're all different.
We had worn out version of John the last couple of years. He really did, right? I mean,
They're definitely,
we really did. Dude,
I mean,
I mean,
that's.
you're seeing him up in Madison Square Garden looking like
He's renewed, sure. I mean, he's rejuvenated in the same way that you're hoping that the Ravens players are going to be rejuvenated. And again, it's not this damning endorsement or indictment of anything. It's just the idea of sometimes change is just, like to use a very simplistic example that many people that are listening can relate to. It's like, when you're younger and like you have a relationship, right? And you get your heart broken, or you get tired of each other, or you just kind of realize you're not as compatible as you might have been, as you thought 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago, right? So,
Well, I'm still glad I can talk with Alan and get him out all these years later and be compatible next
sure.
Friday and
Oh,
talk
but
baseball. But I mean, anybody listening to me knows, like, there were people that worked here that don't work here, that worked there, that
sure.
moved around, and somebody reminds you of somebody else in some way, or take a piece of what they did to wherever they go. I mean, that's and having Jesse Minter arrive at this moment, at this time on my television screen, as they banned me on Facebook, by the way, Luke. Like the Ravens, so I can't even watch. So I'm now watching on YouTube. Please don't ban me because I'm trying to watch these things, including all the ads. But I'm watching it on TV as fans are watching it on TV, and we're all watching it. It's only gonna be eight of you that watch it in person, right? I mean, the way this is going right now that they threw Lock and Four out too. So for me, I'm just witnessing it and saying it reminds me of Mike Nolan, by the way. His football verbiage and his football acumen and delivery and the way he discusses the game and defense. And I was texting back and forth with Mike Nolan, and we had a go and had a laugh together about it. But I don't know, it's change is inevitable, and there was going to be a next thing, and I didn't pin this guy as Harbaugh too much early on, and we'll see that from game management through, how he goes about all of this. But I don't know, he feels like his own guy to me. It feels fresh as a fan, as a former PSL holder, former media man, whatever I am, just somebody that knows football that's trying to watch these things to see, am I going to learn anything? I mean, that's where I am as a 57-year-old dude. Was it worth my time at lunchtime? So far, I guess a little bit. So far, I'm learning something.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, we're at such an early phase here. Again, he hasn't been in the same room as most of his players to this point in time. He hasn't been in the same room with these guys. I mean, other than guys that were involved in the interview process, he probably hasn't had extensive conversations with any of his players beyond, whatever degree of involvement Lamar Jackson and Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith had in the interview process. And we know that there was a select group of veteran players who were involved. So it's still very preliminary, right? Again, this guy hasn't had his first team meeting yet. This guy hasn't had the bulk of players in the building yet, other than guys that are rehabbing right now. He made mention that he had a conversation with Nnamdi Matabike recently, although the Ravens continue to be hush hush on that's with that. So, how we interpret that one way or the other, it's hard to say, but it's hard to be too positive until there's definitive word that it's positive. But the point is, I mean, I don't really know what we would expect him to say at this point in time that's going to be overly headline grabbing, right? Unless he said something really negative, right? Unless he
Yeah, I
said,
mean, he's trying to do everything to not make headlines.
exactly.
Everybody in the world's there. They credential interns to the assistant podcast director at, Broken School U University. I mean, like, it's an amazing mix of people. Anybody can ask anything. None of them are
Sure.
mic'd. And DaCosta gave six yeses or noes or I don't think so's. I don't even know what the hell the question was.
Well,
So, like, there's what? You're
it's a
laughing.
no, I was going to say it's a reminder, don't, unless you specifically are looking for a yes or no question, don't ask a yes or no question, right? And some of
Well,
that,
there's an education for Purdue
as
University,
reporters.
whoever's there, Butler, whatever it is, I mean.
Well, I mean, and I'm not critiquing any one individual, but Eric is very intentional about what he wants to say and about what he doesn't want to say. And for me, the most there nothing he said about Lamar was remotely interesting to me. And I'm not saying it was good or bad. What he said was, he said he made the comment that Lamar has been, quote, very engaged. He expressed confidence that they'd get something done. But if you go back and hear the question, that was either an extension or reworking the contract. Well, Eric can rework the contract without Lamar's blessing, right? They can do a simple restructure. So that doesn't tell us a whole lot. There was one thing that he said that I found to be interesting. It was that he acknowledged we've made a quote market-setting offer to Tyler Linderbaum. Eric didn't say, he didn't misspeak in saying that. I think he made clear that he wanted to put out there that they feel that they've put out a very good, very legitimate offer. And it tells me that, well, and we know this because there'd be a press conference and there'd be an announcement that Tyler Linderbaum's representation has not accepted that yet. And I think that's where we look at what's interesting here. Look, you and I have spent so much time talking about Lamar's contract, and we'll continue to talk about that, whether there's a resolution, whether there's a simple restructure. The
And
reality
if
is they.
Lamar had an agent, he would be in, or she would be in Indianapolis at the Conrad Hotel at 6:30 in the morning, having a coffee and biscotti, talking about Steve Bisciotti, like after having a lot of shotties in the evening. That it, this is a business week there, not just for the poking the players in the underwear Olympics. I mean, I cannot begin to tell you how many steak dinners, morning coffees, lunchtime bagels, all of that I've seen all over that city that are getting these deals done where Tyler Linderbaum's agents or representatives thereof are rolling around Indianapolis talking to, I don't know, the Browns agent or hanging out with John Harbaugh's people up in the Meadowlands, because this is where you start to feel, do they have more money? What's my cap situation? Is Lamar going to get a deal? Dude, if Lamar doesn't get a deal done with them, the whole franchise is on fire all of a sudden a week from now in a way that you and I can't predict. And Eric didn't look, I don't know, nobody looks real overconfident about anything at this moment, right? There was no tells in any of this that any of this is a done deal. They all look nervous until it's done, because they are walking around town and rumors are floating and somebody's got cap space. And that's everything they're trying to tamp down there is all the things we're talking about, which is, it's hard enough trying to get the Lamar deal done. And I'm sure they're sweating it out and the Linderbaum thing. And then where do we go? But the thing about Eric and this organization and having the Ozzies and prior to that, the Ortizes and all the people that were the Koukinises in the pipeline is, they've done a lot of dress rehearsal here, right? They have a plan B for Linderbaum the way they had a plan B for CJ Mosley. And sometimes it's Earl Thomas and it doesn't work out so good. But, and the drop off from plan A to plan B is also, what do you do if it doesn't work out? And all of the reservation part of it and the nervousness part of it and the rookie coach in front of all of these people in this big circumstance with all these, like, I watched it for what it was, and also knowing that you and I talk every day about what an inflection point this is for the organization, this new blood for selling tickets and sponsorships and the Blackbird Club and all the things they need to do, that the window's real short on the Lamar thing here for 2 or 3 years to try to get a parade, not to try to win 10 games. And all that sits behind this and the importance of having the center and the quarterback in shop, in-house, easily, so that we can move on and take the 14th best available player.
Yeah, I mean, just to finish my thought on Linderbaum, like I said, the quote that stood out to me that Eric said, because he said nothing about Lamar's negotiations, which wasn't shocking because that's what they tried to do the last time around. And every time something would, some semblance of a morsel of information would leak out the last time around, it generally wasn't constructive, right? It generally didn't help things, So I think that wasn't very shocking. But again, the idea that Eric said we've made Linderbaum a quote market-setting offer, I think that was intentional. He didn't just say, well, we're keeping this private, right? I think that was put out there to say, look, we're really trying, and we really feel that we put a very fair, legitimate. When you say market setting, to me, it has to be. Now we could quibble, we could kind of mince words about the guarantee, the signing bonus, the payout over the first 2 years of the deal, all the different things that either a player or an agent cares about, right? And certain ones prioritize different elements of that.
And
But
when you
for
have two
me,
guards that are naked and wide open, you prioritize the center more too here, right?
well,
And a quarterback that's a $60 million quarterback that you want the best for, that's how important he is. So he is more valuable to the Ravens than he should be in other circumstances if they love him the way they clearly love him, for him to come and say that, right?
but what I'm coming back to here, and what I'm implying here, is when they're saying market setting offer, I'm assuming that means that the average annual value of the deal is $18 million per year or more. That's what Creed Humphrey, the top of market for the Kansas City Chiefs, $18 million a year. So I'm guessing that the Ravens are somewhere very much in that neighborhood. You know, because you can't say a market setting offer if they're only offering him $17 million a year. Like that, then it's just a blatant lie, which, you know, maybe it is, but I
Eric
think,
DaCosta has lied to me, just so we know on the
I mean,
record. But I, but you,
GMs and agents lie. I mean, they just do. They're trying to do business, right? And part of this is part of the dance, right? That's why everyone's so frustrated about Lamar Jackson negotiations, because there isn't an agent. But part of that is also there's a lack of information that gets out. So other from his perspective, right? The Ravens can put things out, whether they.
and it was telling to me that Minter was timid about talking in a general sense,
I don't
not
know.
to be over the moon about Lamar, and that like I it feels reserved to me. It just does. I'm watching on TV. It just feels reserved.
I mean, I think it's reserved. I don't think it's telling, though. I think he's just going to be very careful, because to the point that I've made over and over, yes, these guys knew each other from Minter's first go around with the Ravens, but they didn't strike up like this close friendship, or there's not like some, from everything that I've gathered, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe someone will uncover it, and maybe they're playing coy, but I don't think you're going to see some feature story that comes out that Jesse Minter and Lamar Jackson in his second year, and Jesse Minter as a low-level defensive assistant, that they were having breakfast every
That they
morning, and
played
that they were,
table tennis together.
you know, I don't get the sense like they knew each other, like they got along, like they said hello, but it was what you'd expect, right? He wasn't coaching Lamar individually. So anyway, so from that part of it, but the sense that I'm getting here, or I think the concern from the Ravens' perspective here, is you have Tyler Linderbaum, who's hitting the market, who they clearly think highly of. However, let's also connect the dots here. They did not give him a fifth-year option last year. Reason why, and we've talked about the system being flawed that's in place, because it just takes into account offensive linemen rather than other centers to calculate that number. So basically, the fifth-year option number would have been as though Linderbaum were a left tackle, right? So that's where it's problematic. So they declined that. DaCosta acknowledged, and this shouldn't have been remotely surprising, but he said that it's unlikely that they'll use the franchise tag or the transition tag on Linderbaum, because that number is even higher than what the fifth-year option would have been, which would have kept him under contract for 2026. So I think where the concern is the Ravens look at this thing and say, all right, we feel that, you know, even if privately, hypothetically, we might think that, okay, maybe Linderbaum's not quite as good as Creed Humphrey, but understanding he's hitting the market, right? There are going to be demands for his services. We're not going to get him at 16. Like, we're not going to get him at our number. We have to understand free market principles here when someone hits the market and can become a free agent, and
Well,
you're
he's
not going
going
to
to hit the
tag him.
market then, right? Because that's the only way he's going to
I
find
mean,
out
it
his
all
real
depends.
value, right?
This is where it comes down to, where is that number? Is it only equaling Creed Humphrey at 18 million, or is it 18.5? Or has Linderbaum's representation looked at this thing and said, well, the Cleveland Browns are out there, and Todd Monken's their head coach. John Harbaugh's in New York and obviously has a relationship with them, you know, and obviously there can be other teams as well. Like, a center is important to an offensive line. I mean, that was one thing that Minter acknowledged. The things that you and I have talked about, you talking about for years, how the post Matt Burke era was so problematic because Gino Gradkowski couldn't do it, and Jeremy Zuda was just okay at best, and kind of go down the list, right? And Bradley Bozeman was solid, but you didn't really want to marry him long term, right?
By the way,
Who,
that did
by the way,
not
just
help their
retired.
$20 million quarterback at the
Did
time.
not. It did not. However,
Or their running game, or anything there goes. So
sure.
therein lies your, you like Lamar, then you might want Linderbaum or something like him.
Well, But at the same time, you can't just give him a blank check necessarily, unless you think he's that important. So here, let's stick with Kyle Hamilton because both guys were drafted in the same draft, same first round, right? Kyle Hamilton got $25 million a year. The previous highest paid safety, I think, was 21.5. I mean, you talk about resetting the market, but that said, Eric DaCosta privately would tell you, I mean, Kyle Hamilton is could, might be the next Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs Hall of Fame defensive player that we have. He's a unicorn. I mean, he flat out said that. Jesse Minter has said that. I mean, they describe Kyle Hamilton as a unicorn.
And they didn't mind paying him as such.
So a guy, if a guy's a unicorn, you're not just going to say, oh, well, 21.5 is the number or 22 is the number. The
Well,
number
Lamar
is.
was a unicorn 4 years ago, and that was part of like there was nothing else like a quarterback that's going to rush for 1,000 yards and throw for five, right?
Sure. But the point I'm trying to make here is in Kyle Hamilton's case, like you weren't going to lose him. Like you, they're just, and if you had to give him a blank check, you were going to give him a blank check, right? I mean, it's just that simple. I don't think Tyler Linderbaum is that guy. And I don't say that to be disparaging. He's a multi-time Pro Bowl center already. But at the same time, you can't view him like he's Jonathan Ogden, right? I mean, Jonathan Ogden, 5 years into his career, you knew he was on his way to being a Hall of Famer. I'm not sure anyone's ready to say that Tyler Linderbaum's going to be a Hall of Fame center. So looking at
But
it
is he
through
a
that
Super
lens,
Bowl winning center the next 3 years for your
and he
franchise?
might, I mean, he's
That's
important,
what I need him to be. Because Matt
but
Burke's not going to the Hall of Fame either, but damn, he was important, man.
okay, but you can't just pay everyone whatever the heck they want, right? I mean, you have to have discipline, and that's where I kind of wonder if this is shaping up to potentially be a CJ Mosley situation, which, by the way, was Eric DaCosta's first offseason as general manager. They wanted Mosley back. They tried to get him back. This wasn't like the Za'Darius Smiths of the world where they just said, God bless you. We love you. Good for you. You're going to get an awesome contract, but we're not in on that. Like we can't. Mosley, they tried, but it got to the point where the Jets were giving him so much more money, where they just say, okay, and the Jets made him the highest paid middle linebacker in football at the time by a pretty healthy margin.
And then you get a dev pick 2 years, a year later, and
And you
you get a
do,
fourth round pick,
you do.
you
I just my point here, it's kind of a I'm rambling a little bit because I'm trying to
know? And
choose
it's
my words
fine. I'm
carefully.
rambling too, because I have
No,
some offensive
but
line thoughts too. Yeah.
my point here is I think they're perfectly willing to pay Tyler Linderbaum 18 or 18.5, but if another team's willing to go to 22 and like really reset the center market because they've got cap space and they feel they're desperate and they want them that badly, I think that's where the Ravens say, like, look, we can't get in the business of
And then what do you
assessing
do?
value and then overpay. Well,
Well, that, so
but that's
that's
the
where
problem.
like
That's the problem,
losing
sure.
Ryan Jensen at a point in time where it was all about just a lot of money, or I'm
Yeah.
thinking of guys like Jarrett Johnson. I'm thinking of guys that they didn't want to lose. Seidler to some degree, even Morgan Moses on that side of the line, they just didn't feel that rich. And they felt like we can get a third round draft pick that's going to turn into Marshall Yanda. And that didn't happen. And the injury to Ronnie Stanley's been an unfortunate burden on their numbers and their output and what else they've had for the offensive line at that point. And he was a first round draft pick that they did sign and keep around, like Humphrey, like Mosley for a minute, but not for 2 minutes, like being able to Hamilton, they're going to keep him around forever. This is the moment of truth for Linderbaum, and I think also for Lamar and that core part of. My God, dude, you saw the guard play. It got them blown up last year. If they don't have a center, what the hell are they going to do? Well, we got the 14th pick in the draft. We'll get the best center in the draft. Good. So we have a 30-year-old quarterback who doesn't want to run anymore. We don't really want him to run that much anymore. And now we're going to have a completely rebuilt offensive line for Lamar and for Derrick Henry and for whatever's left of Mark Andrews and wherever they are with all of this. The operation. Listen, I'm not playing the role of Tyler Linderbaum's agent here with you right now. But if we wake up on March 14th and he's a Giant or a Brown, well, I don't know what plan B sounds like, but this is where you get Kokinas on the phone or you call around and say, what's our plan B here? And that to me is what we should be talking about. So what's plan B here? Because that would kind of indicate how desperate plan A would be for them.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, you could have made the same argument about Roquan Smith 3 years ago. And now granted, they extended him, but let's say that Roquan Smith was 2 weeks out from becoming a free agent. Well, they paid him a heck of a lot of money, and what we've heard from a lot of people say the last year or two is that, it's not really living up. I mean, look, Tyler Linderbaum's a Pro Bowl center. I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he's been elite from a pass protection standpoint. He certainly wasn't this past year. Now, your point is well taken about what kind of impact the two guards having their struggles affect the center there. But it's like I said, there are guys that are Pro Bowl players or top five centers or top seven centers. But, if you're, it's one thing to propose him being the top paid center because it's his turn because he's in that group. It's another thing if the expectation from the opposing side, and I'm not saying it is, I don't want to put words into Tyler's mouth here, but if they're turning that down and because they think the Giants are going to offer $23 million a year, or the Browns are, named three other teams that have cap space to
Well, this
spend,
is where the tampering
that
period
but that's
comes
where you.
in, and you either run back and turtle up and stay home with daddy, or they say, hey, we're giving your money to Zay Flowers, or I don't know. I mean,
Well, I
whoever,
mean.
right? I mean,
I mean, it's a
that's the
plan
next thing
B.
in line, right?
But that said, I mean, like I use CJ Mosley as, seeing some parallels here at where we stand right now, which is still 2 weeks out, and who knows? Maybe they'll have a deal done by the time the combine's over. Who knows? Maybe they'll get it done in that time frame, and that they can avoid this. But true or false, the Ravens made the wise decision letting CJ Mosley go. I'd say true. Like he didn't become Ray Lewis, like CJ had some good, had a couple good years with the Jets, but was also hurt. And, certainly by 2 or 3 years into that, no one was saying he was the best middle linebacker in
Well, that's
football.
where they moved on and gave that money to Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey and the next
Understood.
breed of player, right? Yeah.
But at the same time, inside linebacker was a problem for them for the better part of the next 2 or 3 years, right? I mean, they had to sign Josh Bynes off the couch the following year because they were in such dire straits at that position. And Patrick Queen didn't really find his stride to year three. So, which is one of the reasons they went out and got Roquan Smith, what the better part of 3.5 years later. So the point is, while I think they made the responsible cap decision in letting CJ Mosley go, there's also the matter of replacing somebody, and that's what we always talk. There's nuance to these decisions. It's not as though it because you don't resign the player doesn't mean you didn't like them, right? So
Well, we've
I
gone
think.
through that with Zeitler and these other really capable guys into where their value is. And do you want to talk all summer about them playing without Tyler Linderbaum?
Do you want to talk the next 3 years about having a really highly overpaid center who maybe wasn't worth blowing up the center market for? I mean, there's
Fair
we can do
enough.
this back and forth. Like,
Well, you
and
did that with Roquan the day they signed him. You
I
didn't
mean,
love
I
that.
yeah, and I mean,
I never loved
I
the
think.
Marlon Humphrey money the way you and the Ronnie Stanley thing. That's a not applicable because of the injury
I mean, he
thing.
got, yeah. I mean, that was
I'm
literally
not.
2 days after he signed it.
Yeah.
And let me be clear, I'm not saying this to be disparaging to Linderbaum, but the best teams, the teams that are really good at doing this, they stay disciplined on valuing players. Now, we're talking premier positions. You're premier of premier positions, quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. Maybe wide receiver if it's a legitimate, serious number one, like Ja'Marr Chase kind of wide receiver, shut down number one corner. But, as important as center is, it's not as important as left tackle, right? At least it hasn't been perceived to be that way. And the market would would agree with me, because look at how many $20 million left tackles there are compared to how many $20 million centers there are. None. So again, this is where I go back to DaCosta making the comment that he did, that they made that, they made a quote market setting offer, which to me means they're willing to make him the highest paid center in the league, but maybe they're not willing to make him the highest paid center in the league by this overwhelming margin in the way they did for Kyle Hamilton, because I think they believe Kyle Hamilton is on a, on a path right now to become a Hall of Fame player that, I'm not convinced that Tyler Linderbaum is quite that guy just yet, because like I said, I think he's a really good run blocker. I think his pass protection is at times a little inconsistent. And that's where you just have to recognize what you're getting, right? And that's why I made the comment about Roquan Smith. I mean, if Roquan's truly Ray Lewis, then that deal wasn't a problem. 2 years, 3 years into it, we're kind of looking at it and saying, at least a large proportion of people were saying, is that a value concern right now? I mean, so you just these are the things you have to do. And look, I don't expect any general manager to bat a thousand in that way. And ultimately, maybe they will step up. Maybe they will offer Linderbaum a deal that not just makes him the highest paid center, but maybe it resets the market because they feel they have no choice because of what you said. The alternative is what? I mean, are you going to go with Corey Bullock at center? Are you going to go try to draft someone in the first three rounds and kind of do that, go off that dance again? Or do you get to the point where you just say, we don't have a choice? We've got to give him what he wants, basically. I just think you have to be very careful in the space of identifying the players that are truly that special where you have to give them whatever they want. I think Kyle Hamilton was that. I don't know if Tyler Linderbaum is that. I didn't know if Roquan Smith was that, but I also understood why they did it when they did that, right? I understood it. I had a little bit of, some reservations about it, but at the same time, I also, as I just said, they made a, in my mind, a responsible decision to walk away from CJ Mosley, but they felt some pain for that for the next 2 to 3 years after that, right? I mean, so like it's, we think of these as either like binary choices, right? That either yes and everything's going to be great, or no and that means you think the guy stinks. No, there's a lot of gray in there that you have to figure out. Because you have a salary cap, because you have a finite number of resources to distribute, and you have a finite number of draft picks to
We haven't
spend
even
on
talked about
positions.
that, man. I mean, they got the
Yeah, I mean
14th
that.
pick. What are they going to do with the
So,
pick,
and that's
right?
the thing. I mean,
What are they
like,
going to do with the pick? Matters a lot to how Lamar and Linderbaum. They got to get this done first for me.
yeah. Well, I mean, the thing with Lamar that I do want to continue to point out. Look, the ideal scenario is to do an extension. You clear cap space, and then you're not having this conversation for until 2029. I mean, that's what we're talking about. I mean, think about it. 2023 is when they did the deal, and now we're at a place where they're back at the table trying to extend. I mean, that's kind of how this works. The 5-year deals tend to be 3-year deals in reality, right? Before you want to start addressing it. And in turn, if Lamar had completely fallen apart the last couple of years and you wanted to get out of the deal, like this is around the time when you're able to start doing to think about it in those terms, right? So, but I think when you're kind of looking at this, we have to understand the Ravens have, they're under the cap. Like if the new league year started tomorrow, they're under the cap. Problem is they have so many roster needs that they're going to need more cap space. So they are technically in a position where it's the Lamar thing's not Armageddon. It's not. It's not ideal if you don't get an extension done because you've got to do a restructure. Yeah, that makes you hunky dory for 2026. But then I can only estimate, 74.5 is the cap number for next year, too. If you do a simple restructure and add void years on, then your cap number next year is, I don't know, 85, 90. Like then you're like, then you have to do a deal. Then you have no choice. Then he's got you by the you know what, and he has 100% of the leverage. Whereas now there's still at least a little bit of nuance that you wiggle room you can talk about there. So
By
yes,
the way,
the
DaCosta had to answer questions in regard to him coming to OTAs in
He did,
Indianapolis
and he had to
too.
be careful because, as I pointed out to you a week ago, Declan Doyle is, and I'm not taking him to task here, let's be clear. And frankly, he was being honest, right? Especially, people have a stance
Coaches
that
want
as
to work with their
they
players,
do.
man. They do.
However, teams don't want to get calls from the NFLPA, and that is also a thing too, right? And you don't want to be in a position where suddenly you're being viewed
Yeah, we've
as
talked
being.
about baseball and labor for, a good hour this week, and that's we're going to be talking about
Ask
that all
John
summer.
Harbaugh the number of times they were fined and lost OTAs over the years because they didn't follow the rules to the T, right? Even if there was certainly room for interpretation at different times. So I think with that in mind, that's where DaCosta was playing a little bit of good cop. It was a little bit of good cop, bad cop going on there that, hey, it's optional, Lamar, and so that to me was interesting, but much ado about nothing. And like I said, I think it was a little bit of CYA going on because, even though it wasn't this massive league story, league-wide story or anything like that, but Doyle saying what he did, I'm guessing the NFLPA didn't love, the tone and the context of what he was saying, even if it's true, right? Even if it's important for a team with a first year head coach and first year coaching staff and all that. So, but to bring it back to Lamar, just to put a bow on that, because I do want to touch on a couple of the other guys at least briefly, but they're not in a position right now where they're over the cap. So hypothetically, if they get to the eve of the new league year and they don't have an extension in place, they could go into the new league year with the 74.5 number, knowing that they could renegotiate, they could turn that, turn the base salary into a bonus and create cap space. And that's one thing that Eric's done maybe a little bit differently than Ozzie in the past. He's actually been a little more of, we'll create space as we go when necessary. We're not just going to create space just because we can, which, is smart business when you think about it that way. If there ends up not being the free agent that you try to, you're trying to land a free agent and you're unsuccessful, you just open up a bunch of cap space now for what, right? So there's a little bit of that going on. That said, go back to what Steve Bisciotti said a little over a month ago. They don't want the Lamar situation hanging over the start of the offseason. There's no doubt about that, right? You either want an extension, or if it looks like you're not anywhere close on that, you renegotiate, you convert the rest not re renegotiate, restructure the deal. Create some cap space that way, and then you table it until, I don't know, June, July, August, right? I mean, you can keep talking later on, but yeah, you don't want that holding the offseason hostage. You certainly don't want that.
Well,
So
you need to know from a cap space standpoint, we're talking about a good $20, $30 million. We're talking about a football player, right?
you do, but like I said, I
This is
mean,
some of the leverage you need for
If,
Linderbaum,
but if
right?
you really want me to get into the weeds here, the argument could be made that if it was purely about 2026 cap space, if you didn't care about ramifications for 27, 28, 29, you could actually make the argument that just restructuring the deal would probably open up more space if that was all you were worried about. Problem is, it makes next year an even bigger nightmare then. And
This is
now you're
different with a
talking.
33-year-old linebacker that you feel like you're going to have a walk away. You don't want to walk away from Lamar Jackson if he wins the
No.
MVP again this year, right?
Exactly. And ideally, if he wins the MVP again and you haven't worked out an extension prior to this season, then that number is even higher next year that he's asking
And by
for,
the
and
way, if you don't
understandably
think he
so.
can win the MVP, then you're renegotiating with the wrong guy, right? If you don't believe in that.
I mean, how why would you not believe that? I mean, he should have won it in 24, right? It should have been a three-time MVP. So, I mean,
And
we're
will
only
want to be
here.
paid like that in
We're
this
one, right,
offseason.
we're only 1 year removed from that. I mean, let's not act like his best year was 7 years ago or something crazy.
He
So,
also threw the pass that went over everybody's head in Pittsburgh on the road on a cold ass night. I know it was
he
cold
was
because I was
super.
there. And, he
Not
didn't
for the
kick the
defense.
ball, but
If
like
not, yeah.
he
If
may
not
have
for the
played
defense.
his best football this January if they just would have gotten there, but they didn't get there and the coach got fired and here we are,
Yeah, but because they missed a kick and their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just, it's that simple. It's a team game. That's what I keep.
Mark Andrews catches the ball last year. They might go to
Who
fire.
knows, right? I
Right. I
mean,
mean, that's where it's
and
at.
And that's where I've continued to be just with Lamar, with that whole narrative as it is. Yeah, he's had his share of performances that weren't up to his standard in crunch time, but so many other guys of in this core, you would say that about. I mean, Andrews and Zay Flowers 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, and go down the list. I mean, they all have to be better, and I think that's part of what you're hoping with a new coaching staff. And I made the point to you the other day, when we had that, I said I had rewatched the Ravens Bills week one game, and I said there was just this little moment that resonated with me. It was on the Ravens' last offensive drive before. Remember, they punted on fourth and three, and there was some debate whether they should have gone for it because it's like, what, John, what confidence did you have in your defense at that point that they were going to stop you? Why didn't you try to get the first down there? But it was the Zay Flowers run that got stuffed. And I made the point that I actually, you could see Harbaugh in the background because it was the far side on the TV copy. And you could see him hands on knees, and albeit very briefly, he put his head down. And it was just one of those things where that to me epitomized how everyone was feeling about the last few years of this Ravens team, that for all the success they might have had in the regular season and expectations and the number one seed and hosting the AFC title game, that the failure had just beaten everyone down. I mean, you said
Well,
yourself,
that's all washed away when I'm watching
it
Jesse
is.
Minter from
Right. I mean, that's why
Indianapolis,
I'm
right?
saying like that part of it's a clean
He doesn't
sweep.
have
And
to answer any questions about missed field goal. He have to answer any of that,
yeah.
like
And
literally.
it's not even that he needs to be this super genius that comes up with the way of why that it's just like it's a clean slate, right? It's the same way that, I'm hoping all these guys with this core group of, Lamar, Andrews, go down the list, the guys who've been around the last 6, 7 years, you're hoping that they finally like, hey, you've got a new coach, new
If
lease on
John
life.
Harbaugh was at the Terps game the other night instead of at the Madison Square Garden, think about the different, like 19 years in a row, you're making $20 million a year. When are you going to win a playoff game, dude?
Yeah, I mean, I
Like
don't
John
think
didn't
he's
want to come
getting
out of the house, like
right.
literally, right?
I mean, I don't think he's getting booed out of the building in that scenario, but it's certainly not like a,
Well, and the minute that Jesse Minter has his seat 5 rows off of home plate on opening day and comes and does the Papa
Yeah.
wave and everybody's good. Like he can do no wrong so far. So, I mean, they really have all washed their hands of all of this with holy water. They really have. Everybody's coming at it, especially as they all walk around in their jock suits in Indianapolis, and they all, maybe not Todd Monken, but the rest of them have hope.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's two groups, not really groups, because of one individual and the group that still carries that are the players, and Eric DaCosta, right? I mean, yeah, I think it's funny to go back and because I flat out asked Bisciotti at that press conference, what was his evaluation of Eric, and he was very complimentary. At the same time, it's like, but that only goes so far. Think about it. I mean, we're talking about an owner who had just given John Harbaugh a contract extension 9 months prior to firing him. So it's this league is what have you done for me lately? So Eric's feeling more pressure. Well, not even that he's like, oh, he's on the verge of getting fired, but like, hey, we've eliminated the coaching staff. So we eliminated that variable. So what's the roster look like? And then if you're the players, it's the same deal. You can't blame Harbaugh. You can't blame Monken. You can't blame Zach Orr. You can't blame George Warhop, like go down the list. You got a brand new coaching staff. So if you guys all have the same exact issues and you can't finish games and commit too many penalties and you've got mental mistakes and you're blowing fourth quarter leads and you can't win in January, guess what people start to think then? Maybe it's the players. You know what I mean?
And if
So
it's the players, it's Eric DaCosta.
sure, no question. So you're right about the there's a sense of renewed energy, right? But because it is Minter and his assistants, and we saw it with the coordinators last week. But like they're the guys right now, those are the guys that can smell themselves and say, hey, last year was last year. I didn't have anything to do with that. But for the players, that'll be a little bit different. Yeah, it'll be different. And they're you're hoping they're rejuvenated. You're hoping that everyone's energized and is excited because on paper they should still be a good team in the AFC, right? I mean, right now, yes or no, do I think they're going to be back in the playoffs this coming year? Yeah. I'm not ready to say they're going to be the favorite in the AFC, but I'll like their chances because of who they have, right? At the top of their roster. But at the same time, Jesse Minter, it's one thing for him. Also, let's keep in mind, They don't play any games for 6 more months,
Well,
right?
he gets to be 0-0 for the next 6 months too.
Exactly. So that's where it changes. But, but beyond that, we talked about Lamar. Yeah, I did think DaCosta's comments on Marlon Humphrey were interesting. He made the comment not necessarily needing to redo his deal, although I'm skeptical about that element of it. But, he did say he expects him to be back. I thought that was maybe a sign that they've had some talks to say, hey, let's redo the last year of this deal. Maybe in a way that the Ravens did with Ronnie Stanley 2 years ago. Keep in mind, they gave him a pay cut 2 years ago, put a bunch of incentives into it, and then what happened? Stanley had a good year, and he ended up getting another contract, right? Well, whether that'll end up ultimately working out or not, Stanley, he had the kind of contract year he needed to have. So maybe the thought is, well, okay, Marlon wasn't great last year, but no one was on defense really. And the idea is with Jesse Minter, Anthony Weeder, Weaver, and with Mickens as far as being the new secondary coach, maybe that will help Marlon Humphrey look back to being closer to what he was 2 years ago rather than last year, especially if we shave some of the salary and can save some cap dollars that way. So, they talked about that. Matt Ibike, still no news on him. DaCosta kind of gave a throwaway line on not closing the door on Isaiah Likely. I don't really know. I just don't know how they make
Is
that
the
work.
season for throwaway lines, though?
I look, is it impossible if the market doesn't develop for Isaiah Likely that he accepts a 1-year deal and gets to play with Lamar Jackson 1 more year? I don't think it's impossible. Do I think that's likely? No pun intended. No, because I think there's going to be some team out there that's going to look at him and say, hey, give this guy a chance without a Mark Andrews in the way, and let's watch him develop. And the big thing with Likely, I mean, he's only entering his age 26 season. This guy's still really young. For NFL free agents, he's pretty darn young. So I think that's part of the will be some of the allure for him. I've seen some people mention, maybe he goes to Kansas City, although it sounded like Kelsey's going to come back the more and more you read the tea leaves. But yeah, I mean, that I'm not expecting Isaiah Likely to be back. Beyond that, we talked about Linderbaum. I think to me, Linderbaum is, I understand why Lamar is the headliner, and I understand in the big picture, of course, he's the headliner. But in terms of the urgency right now, the Linderbaum comment, where DaCosta flat out said, we've made a market setting offer. He did that. That was purposeful. That was, hey, we really feel from our perspective, we're really trying here, and we're not getting a yes just yet. So, we'll see how the next couple of weeks play out. And to your point, tis the season of tampering. It's all that's going on in
Let the
Indy. I mean,
tampering begin. Let the tampering begin in Indianapolis. Luke and I are not there. We were going to be in Sarasota. We're going to be in Indianapolis. It's 18 degrees in Indianapolis. Sarasota, dude, Tuesday 58. No bueno. Got to get me into the mid-70s down there if you're going to get me to Sarasota, Florida. We're here covering it all and talking about it all, maybe more than ever. Really, all are brought to you by our friends at Planet Fitness. I'm wearing my Planet Fitness gear here. We're going to get back out to their new location in Towson to get something going. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Have Harlem Globetrotters scratch-offs. They had this Maryland artistic competition that they did last year where they did art and as part of the scratch off. So I'm going to be giving those away in April. But in the meantime, Harlem Globetrotters, Wednesday of next week, we are at Gertrude's at the BMA with Dan Rodericks and friends talking some old baseball. And we're going to talk some new baseball on Friday at Costas Inn in Dundalk. Luke and Alan are going to be out with me as well as some other friends. And then on Tuesday, the 10th of March, we will be at Missoni's in Perry Hall. Looking forward to the meatballs and. I don't know what else I'm going to get there because they said, we don't traditionally have crab cakes. You sure you can do the crab cake tour? I'm like, I've eaten the food. It's delicious. Of course, I want to come there. So we're going to be there on that Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of March. Luke's around. The WNSD Tech Service is also around. It's brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. All you have to do is click on it, get on it. You'll get breaking news first. Lamar under contract, fixed, renegotiated, whatever it is. Tyler Linderbaum. And no injuries out of Sarasota, right, Luke? We're not, no more, right? Westberg, Holiday, we're done with that. No more text on that, right?
certainly hope so, right? Although knowing pitching this time of year, still going to be holding our breaths for a little while here. It's just the reality. But yes, hopefully no more.
All right, we have our newest sponsor as well, the Comfort Guys at Farner and Dermer. I keep tripping. I promised them it's going to cost me a dollar, or at least a quarter every time I do that. They came over and got the stink out. Still have a couple stink bugs. Anybody's got an exterminator out there, I need you. Find me, ness@baltimorepositive.com. But we do have a great HVAC folks who also took care of my plumbing. We had like this whistle going on, driving me crazy, and it's gone now. So, magicians is what I'm calling them. Comfort guys. I'm a lot more comfortable because of our newest friends. So, new sponsors, new friends, springtime. Spring has sprung. Orioles at spring training. Ravens trying to figure out the drama of the NFL Combine and the Underwear Olympics. And the Olympics are over with, except the Paralympics are going on. But we're watching that as well. I'm Nestor. We're WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive. We don't even have to go to Indianapolis to do it.